Are they pumping any oxygen into Hartwell? Is there a pump back system in Hartwell?
That's my bait tank. That water in my bait tank come 15 foot below that water.
No way.
Put your mind around that.
Tomato soup.
Campbell's. You wouldn't believe that, would you? Sure. That water that's in the bait tank come 15 feet below that
no
water.
No way.
Jeez.
You think that
hose
red.
You're pumping it up?
Yeah, right, I'm pumping 30 feet down.
Right.
It was, wow. It
that's what they're living in.
When was that?
That was Saturday.
Oh, my. Wow. On Hartwell.
And it's the same stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Anywhere they got that rain, it's the same stuff. But that cold, what happens is...
That tastes
hot
like
water
tomato juice.
That's on top.
Like red tide,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And the cold water that comes in, that cold water is just going to go down.
Yeah, nose dives in, yeah.
And it just, it's amazing how it does that. that just shows you that rainwater,
the nasty stuff,
that rainwater is a lot colder than what's
right
in there.
Right.
But it will eventually mix and go down.
That's what
there
they get to live in. Right.
Yeah. It's going to have too much nutrients in it.
Well, you got all the fertilizer from all the farms.
That's
year,
what's
yeah
coming to them.
Oh, it's coming
in August and September.
It's going to just end in slow release.
And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you can look for a bad fish kill, most likely. I mean, it'll most likely happen. It may not happen on Lanier because they don't pull nowhere near as much water. And I think Lanier has got a deeper basin overall, because Hartwell, if you look at it, even on the lower end of the lake, there's a lot of flats and stuff that go out for a long way. Lanier doesn't really have that.
Yeah,
so Lanier,
a couple of miles of 130 feet. So
Lanier could be safe.
Yeah,
the Hartwell is
going to all be in one
if they go in deep.
Yeah, and then
men
have to govern their own actions
Brownsburg
and not go down there
probably 120
when they're down
there. 120.
See, that's the problem.
You'll kill everyone.
The summertime fishing is a fish kill every year. It's a fish kill every year.
Yeah, it's part of the numbers, like DNR says.
DNR get their trolling motor?
Yes, they did.
They did? Good. They get a new one or a used one? What do you get them?
Carson got them a deal, I believe. So got them one at cost or better than cost.
Well, they need a trolling motor.
They wanted like one of those old Alteras, the automatic deployments.
So what
Chris
allow
does is oxygen stuff.
It's almost a line to do it by himself.
When he goes out by himself and he has to do his oxygen test, he's got to anchor, and if he's anchoring out in front of the dam, you know how hard it is to anchor in 107 feet of water? You got to have like 300 feet of rope. So it takes him a long time to get situated and all that. So now he could just pull up to a spot, hit a button, anchor lock, do his test, and get out of there.
Water quality.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, they try to anchor almost straight under the anchor. Try to hold the boat straight under.
I know. That's when there's no
yeah, they
wind
don't really let out all that line.
Right.
They let
but
out.
But still, at 130
yeah,
feet,
it's 130, 140.
Hard 30, to anchor there.
Now. I know. I pulled that sucker in.
Right. You've gone with him a bunch of
how
times.
How far over pool are we right now?
Less than a foot. Just a little
yeah,
over.
Half foot.
Yeah, but have you seen the forecast?
Yeah. Straight
yes
rain. Yeah.
All the way through Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Rain.
It's going to come up more.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all. I'm
skeptical. Yeah.
I'm bummed about it. I really am.
Hell, everybody and their brother's on a road trip to Tennessee.
But, well, and what happens with that?
Oh, they're going to wear it out.
Yeah, that's going to be wore out. And then what happens?
Larry, Lionel,
if, hey, and guess what? Guess what? If these guys go here and these fish get gone and let these rebuild and there's nothing up here, what's going to happen when these rebuild? All those guys are going
to those guys, they're going to hate it. And the locals are going to hate us.
Yeah, well, they already do.
Right.
Alabama, they already do.
They got it.
Guys are posting coolers of 30-pound fish.
Right.
And you know, that's, I mean, that's their backyard. Like, this is our backyard. Right. We wouldn't want people
kill our fishery.
Come in and he goes, come driving down, you know,
it's tough.
But it's just like deer hunters from North Carolina. They come to, you know, our areas, and they'll kill out 100 deer in a spot in a season and wipe them out for years. And that's just not good. Yeah. You know, people have to. They've got to govern their own actions.
Got to manage wildlife, yeah.
That, I mean, the DNR, we shouldn't have to have a representative from the DNR telling us how to behave. I mean, you should have enough sense in your mind, yourself, to know what you're doing is not right and to stop it.
That ain't gonna happen.
But you know this, and I mean, I've been on both sides of the fence. The guides, what do? You're making a living. They go fishing 5 days in the summertime. I mean, I guess they could do it like they do up there, like the brothers do up there with their, you know, you're allowed six fish and then we go home kind of a deal. That's kind of what.
But the thing about the guides is they do put back into it. They teach people how to do it.
Conservation.
And, right. and they spread the sport. And that's what keeps it alive in the mind of the DNR. Right. If you don't have guides out there showing people, and that may be kind of a thing of the past with Facebook and all like it is now. But I know that's how striper fishing got started, was through the guides. Because if there hadn't been any guides,
Nobody,
it would have been the information. I mean, I started it, there wasn't even a cell phone. If you wanted to tell somebody about stripers, you had to mail them a letter or call them on the landline.
Yeah.
You know?
See them at the ramp. Yeah.
And now it's...
Everybody.
Millions of people can see that in seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and they do. And, you know, people are not dumb. They take advantage of easy opportunities.
No, the information's there.
Facebook Live.
But, I mean, we're in a change in culture is basically what it boils down to. And people need to evolve into a different way of thinking. That information and that technology, there's a harmful side of it as well as a helpful side. People have to, you know, balance that out. You know, everything's a balance. And it's just not – you're seeing the imbalance of it happening right now, I think.
Common sense isn't common.
All of our fish are not dead, but a lot of them are gone.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. We wore out our big fish just in age because we had no stockings for a couple of years. And I had a chart. I probably still have it in here. And I've talked about it for 3 years. I go, guys, this is coming. We've had no fish come in. And we're at a 13, 14-year stage in our big fish. There ain't many of those 13-year-olds alive. And then Chris Looney, I said, well, how long are the average striper living that makes it to, like, maturity? I said 10, 11 years. So I was thinking 13 and 14 because I'm a saltwater guy.
But let me tell you this.
So they live longer in the salt. But.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. I caught a 31-pounder at a tournament on Hartwell last April. And it died. I had to keep it. And I took several of the scales off of it and sent it to the DNR for analysis.
There you go.
Find out about that fish. They said it was about 10 and a half years old.
Right. There you go.
31 pounds.
Right.
That's quick to 31 pounds.
Sure it is.
So.
But like Chris said, the same thing. To get from 31 to 41 is a very rare deal. If you got 100 fish hitting 30, you might only have 5 hitting 40.
Yeah.
Just because of it's old age at that point. They got to have like the perfect science. They got to have good genetics, the whole deal, eating right.
I'll add something else to that. On Hartwell, you rare ever see a fish over 37 pounds. It's like that. If you look at the tournament, if you go back on the striper board and look at all the tournament weigh-ins since they've been keeping up with that stuff, look at that top weight on that striper. It's like 30. We've weighed in one that was 41 pounds and a few that were in that high 30s. But if you look across that, go through every weigh-in, you'll only see two or three fish that's over 36 or 37 pounds.
Right.
Well, and I'll see fish coming through Russell. It took me years to put this together.
2072.
But I noticed in Russell, in the tail race there, I see a lot of dead 38-pound fish. And I finally put that together.
They're coming through.
They're dying at 38 pounds.
Yeah.
they require a different water quality at that stage in their life. It's just different. And Hartwell doesn't have it in there.
Right. Lanier's got better water quality in general, so.
That's
and
right.
And then they got hit with the quotas here, so. If they're that delicate to that yeah. could have.
Well, that's now, but we're talking then, but either way.
I think that, you know, maybe something like that. I know in Tennessee they've got them, and those fish get 50-plus pounds.
Right.
When they first got them, though.
No, when they first got them, it wiped them out.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, because we just got
that's
them.
That's right. It's kind of like an illness that, you know, you live with. I think the more that they have it, the more they're going to
adapt
to
it.
And it's adaptability.
And the older ones were too stressed out.
That's right.
We went because all last that could, the last year we, there was no big bait bite.
They got those
we were
things.
5 months on shiners, like 4 or 5 months shiner bite.
They started showing up in Lanier and Clark Hill first, and then they started showing up on Russell and then Hart. Lanier and Clark Hill are the fishing's the poorest out of them. Alright. And then Russell and then Hartwell is better than all of those lakes. If you look at the order in which they were discovered, the ones that got hit first, the fishing's worse. The ones that got hit last, the fishing's better.
Yeah, so they're living with it better. The ones that have it now can deal with it. When they're little fingerlings and they get it, they can deal with it. The problem is like DNR, and I believe this too, but because I read all those reports from Smith Mountain and Tennessee and Alabama, all these lakes that got it. DNR claims that the larger fish that got it, it's like an elderly person catching the flu.
Absolutely.
Or pneumonia.
I totally.
It's a killer.
I buy into that.
Your grandma's got pneumonia. You better get to visit her.
A 20-year-old got it.
They're going to pull through.
He's okay.
Right. So all those elderly fish, like 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old fish that got that, it knocked a good many of them out. We don't know how many, but it knocked a good many of them out.
Yeah.
But all the little 6-pounders, they got it, they're running wild. They're like little kids. They're running like crazy in the street. But we noticed last year, everybody kept saying that shiner bite was like hot in December and January. February it stayed, March it stayed, April it stayed, May it stayed.
What the heck?
Well,
they probably didn't feel like eating nothing big.
Right, and then I started noticing when you get them, you look in your mouth, it almost looked like cauliflower. Like you couldn't physically see a way to get down there, you know.
Too uncomfortable to eat
one of the
bait.
Mornings, one of our tournaments, I was leaving my cove, and it was a long, skinny fish in my cove, dead. So I pull up next to it, looking at it, I pick it up, I look at it, and it had no physical way to get in its mouth. It almost looked like it swallowed like a softball or something. It was all like all cauliflower in there. And it fished like 38 inches, and it went like this all the way down. No belly, just skinny. I'm like, that poor joker. Never, he hadn't eaten in how long.
Is that you? I've seen a few of those on Harville.
But now the ones we're catching, like in the last month or couple of months, it's little dots. You don't see any big growths. Matt, we'll ask him tonight, but the guy that caught 37 and a half inch fish on Saturday, clean as a whistle, nothing in it. But he did say he was catching some little, like 18 to 20 inch fish. They had a bunch in them, but they were just little dots. Nothing in the gills, though. It's all around the tongue and inside the mouth, which, according to DNR, is our savior, because if it was in the gills, it would be a lot more destructive.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's not affecting their breathing, it's affecting their eating.
They're going to learn a lot about these things now because all these lakes have them in them. They'll get more information, and I think it's so important for the fishermen to when you catch fish, take scale off of it, put it in a Ziploc
bag.
They
actually asked that at the last time the DNR was at Lanier Striper Club. They
weigh
said
it.
If you could tell, you know, the tournaments and everything, and everybody is out fishing when they catch them.
See, like in the ASC, what they're doing now, they're weighing the fish, they're measuring it. and they're giving that information to the DNR.
Right, right.
And some of the guys like me, we're taking scales out, measuring it, weighing it.
You're supposed to have an app coming out this summer that you can send in information to.
They can tell how fast these fish are growing on the average, and that will tell them if they can stop more.
Right.
You know, and I believe that, they can. I believe they can. I believe they're way too conservative on that, in my opinion. I think they can put way more fish in the lakes than they do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're doing this app so they can keep track of how many people are catching and what size. That's what they want to do on the app. It's supposed to be out this summer.
But I agree. They kept saying it used to be 10 per acre. And then when they had 3 years of, like, nothing come in this lake, the guilt all of a sudden comes out. And then they throw, like, 700,000 in here instead of 400,000. Instead of 380, we got, like, 720. They doubled our stock. That's the 6-pounders we're catching now. That's that 22-inch school or 26-inch school. And then they come right behind it with another, like, 18 per acre instead of 10 per acre.
Well, if you put a lot of fish in there, you'll have big fish.
Right. So they did it.
I disagree with what they say.
Three out of 4 years.
They say you won't, but that's not true.
Right.
Because it's a numbers game. They're all going to grow at the same size because there's plenty of food in there, regardless of what they say. I'm out there every day. I know what's in the lake better than they do. I'll be honest with you. You'll have more 10 pounders, and then in 3 or 4 years, those 10 pounders will be 20 pounders. That's what happened on Hartwell. That there was 1 year that they stopped. Like, I mean, they put more than they'd ever put in there. I can't recall the year that it was, but when they got to be 10 pounds, we could go to any creek, and we would get tired of catching 10 pounders. And what happened was, back in like 2011 and 12, when you could go anywhere and catch 225-pound fish in a tournament, 220, 25-pounders didn't mean squat.
Right, you were in the top 10.
I mean, you got 225, he's got 225. That was just a result of that big stocking class. That resulted in more bigger fish. I disagree with what they said. I disagree with it.
Now you got 225? Inchers?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going.
Hey, at one point I had 48 and a quarter, and my son's like, how's that going to hold up? I go, top three.
48 inches.
I'm and I walked, I don't even know what I had, 52 inches or something?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, shit, we're probably second place, you know? I was thankful a couple people caught some fish, so.
Oh, I remember years where, I mean, the top five teams would have over 40 pounds of fish.
Yeah.
You know, in small, and I'm not talking about having 50 boats in a tournament either.
Right.
I'm talking about having 20 boats.
Right.
You know, that's great odds. But those days are they're not here right now.
No, we got a few years ahead of us.
But it'll get back.
We're regrowing. Oh, yeah.
That information that I got from them has given me a lot of hope that we can get this back on track. If the weather, and see, that's another thing, the DNR, they're right to a certain degree about the climate has got a lot. It really has more to do with what these fish do than the anglers do. The climate has not been right for us for the past several years, and that's hurt it more than the anglers have. If you've got the right conditions, the angler impact is not going to be near as bad.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get these guys started. We're going to do a little quick thing, and we're going to get you up quick.
All right, guys, we're getting rolling.
That was quick.
All right, we're going to